Now we're joined by the experts at ETF Trends and ETF Database, the world's largest independent ETF-centric source for top industry news, trends, and insights.
There's a couple of different ways to slice and dice these various ETFs. They can hold what are called total return swaps. Expect the unexpected.
Laura, I guess we are getting the old band back together again. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here, Nate.
All right. So I teased our topic at the top, and I'm guessing a lot of people think we're going to talk ESG, but those people would be wrong because, huge shocker, instead we're going to talk Bitcoin ETFs.
A little bait and switch there. I love it.
Well, and I would say we're going to look at this not from the usual angle. We'll certainly touch on where the SEC stands and some of the filings in the hopper. But I've got to tell you, I'm starting to wonder whether the SEC is even calling the shots on this anymore. And I know this may sound a little tinfoil hat-ish, which typically isn't my style, but I'm wondering if there's a higher power pulling the strings. And the way I would frame this is, we know a number of politicians have expressed significant concerns over Bitcoin's use in illicit transactions and money laundering, tax evasion. I also think there's uncertainty over how Bitcoin might impact the U.S. dollar longer term, right? Is it some sort of threat? And so because of that, I'm wondering if there's this feeling that if a Bitcoin ETF is approved, that's sort of an endorsement of Bitcoin by the U.S. government, which is not something they want to offer just yet. And so, basically there are some higher powers in the government slowing the SEC down. Let's start there. Am I crazy, or do you think there could be something to that?
Well, I'm going to leave my tinfoil hat on the table for this conversation, but I do think that there is something, there's a core of a kernel of something there that I agree with. As to whether the SEC is calling the shots here, I genuinely think they are. I think that politicians far and wide do not get crypto assets. They're looking to who they consider experts to give them guidance on it. And that would be the SEC and the CFTC and the regulators. But there is pushback from regulators, there is pushback from politicians, as well there should be, in my opinion. Skepticism is warranted, it is healthy, especially for such a new asset class as cryptocurrency. You know, it feels sometimes like crypto has been around forever, but the truth is it's still a very new asset class. The SEC and CFTC only really agreed on what kind of asset it was from a regulatory perspective just a few years ago. And so when you compare that to other commodities like, you know, corn and oil, we've had these markets for over 100 years, right? The supply and demand fundamentals that drive them, the liquidity in times of stress, the kind of natural rhythm and flow of volatility, that's all really well understood in those markets. But in Bitcoin and in other cryptocurrencies, they've evolved so quickly that they don't have that same track record. You can look at what's happened over the past 5 or 10 years, but that's a blink compared to other commodities. And then you combine that with the fact that crypto is inherently this fragmented market, right? You've got over-the-counter trades in exchanges all around the world, outside the centralized banking system. And I get it. I get the skepticism. One philosophical question I think hasn't yet been adequately addressed is, should it be the job of our regulators to create a market, or should it be their job to simply regulate the markets that exist? So what I mean by that is, should the SEC be tasked with creating a centralized trading market in crypto, in Bitcoin, which is what would happen with the approval of a Bitcoin ETF for an asset class where not only is there no centralized market already, but the asset in question was built from the ground up to be anathema to that sort of centralization, right? The whole point of Bitcoin is that it exists outside the traditional financial ecosphere, power to the people and all of that. So I think there are some remaining questions that are very legitimate that need to be addressed. That doesn't mean I'm not bullish on a Bitcoin ETF. It just means we've got to check our dot our I's and cross our T's first.
In terms of publicly stated concerns by the SEC, so what's being fed to everyone, from my perspective, the single biggest issue, and you were alluding to this, it continues to be concerns over fraud and manipulation in the underlying Bitcoin spot market. So the SEC is concerned. They still don't have proper surveillance over crypto exchanges, and so they can't monitor whether there are any shenanigans going on there. And, you know, you think recently we've heard comments from SEC Chair Gensler about how there's not a federal regime overseeing crypto exchanges and how there's a gap in the system to protect investors. So let's just set aside my little tinfoil hat theory for a moment. Clearly, those are still concerns. I mean, any sense as to how close those may be towards getting resolved?
And that was a sigh that carried a lot, I'm sure. So I am honestly not sure how far along it is to resolution, right? If you compare it to, again, if you compare it to traditional commodities markets, which are well regulated and well understood, and yet every year, literally every year since I cut my teeth as a commodities reporter, there are stories of some trader or another doing spoofing trades or other market manipulation in, well, primarily the precious metals market, but in many commodities markets as well. So these are well-regulated markets, and fraud and manipulation still happens there. The difference is we can catch those manipulative trades, right? We can look, we can check the tape, we have standardized data, surveillance data that regulators can use to do the forensics to catch the criminals, right? There just isn't that same sort of centralized record in the Bitcoin markets. And honestly, there's still, I think, a question of whether we can trust exchanges' liquidity information, right? Up until recently, it was estimated that as much as 95% of all Bitcoin trades on an exchange were wash trades, meaning that exchanges were buying and selling coins to artificially inflate the liquidity that appeared to be on their exchange. And that statistic comes from a Bitcoin ETF application from a few years back. Has that situation been resolved? I mean, they say so, but do we have the proof for it? So I realize I'm sounding like a bit of a negative Nelly here. Really, I'm not. I'm actually bullish on Bitcoin and on a Bitcoin ETF, but there are these sorts of foundational investor protection questions that must be answered to ensure that this is an asset class that's not going to blow up on investors, and or that these are investments that are not going to blow up on investors. I mean, fraud and manipulation, it's always going to be a concern for the regulators. Sometimes it's not a deal breaker, right? They get to the point where they feel they can catch the fraud and prosecute it as necessary. But you want your regulatory bodies to be caring about this, to be thinking it through from all angles, because that's how they protect investors.
Okay, so a question that I think this raises, let's just say there are still real concerns around fraud and manipulation in the underlying market. And then let's just say, bear with me, there's something to the tinfoil hat theory, right? That the U.S. government is pulling some strings. So from my perspective, that means in order for everyone to get comfortable, there's going to have to be much greater regulation of Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. All the way around, from know your customer to tracking transactions, tax regulation. But the problem is, all of that really gets away from the core ethos of Bitcoin, which you were mentioning earlier, right? That it's permissionless, decentralized, those sorts of things. Do you think that presents a problem for Bitcoin? Like if we get all of this regulation, maybe Bitcoin isn't quite as attractive, right? Because it gets away from why it was developed to begin with.
I do not disagree with that. I think that is an issue for sure. The question, I think, now, though, is how much of the market the diehards still make up, right? You know, if the Bitcoin true believers leave, are there enough regular old speculators to keep the market liquid? And, you know, it is possible that with the passage of a Bitcoin ETF, centralization of it or whatever, you know, people, we start to see a liquidity dry up in the Bitcoin market. Folks jumping ship just as Wall Street starts to get comfortable with it. I don't think that's going to happen, though. It is a possibility, but I don't think it'll happen because, I mean, we haven't seen it happen in Canada, right? Of course, Canada is a much, much smaller market than the States, but it is our first best example of what could happen in a market that allows for cryptocurrency ETFs. And Canada hasn't imploded yet. I mean, they seem to be doing just fine. The ETFs seem to be trading just fine. You know, there will be some Bitcoin enthusiasts who do decide they don't want to have anything to do with this, and they move into, you know, there's an impolite term for it, but it's basically bleep coins, like Dogecoin and the other meme coins that are out there. And those coins, I suspect, will become more of a Wild West. But, you know, as far, there are so many different types of cryptocurrency out there that as one becomes more standardized and structured and more friendly to Wall Street, the people who are not down with that, they have options that they can go to.
Okay, so you mentioned that you are still bullish overall on a Bitcoin ETF getting approved. With our remaining time here, let's offer a quick update on where the various Bitcoin ETF filings do stand. And by the way, I want to mention to listeners, Laura has an amazing repository of all the Bitcoin ETF filings. So the differences, similarities, current status, you can find that at ETFtrends.com. It's in their crypto channel. So the piece is titled The Race to the First Bitcoin ETF. But Laura, just give a quick update on where things stand here.
Sure. So what we are looking at right now, what all the attention is on, is 19B4 forms. And a 19B4 form is a form that an exchange files to make it possible to list an ETF. And there have been a number of those filed for the various Bitcoin ETFs. The first one was for VanEck, and that was filed in mid-April. So when a 19B4 is filed, the SEC has 45 days in which to weigh in or extend their period of review. That would kind of place a ruling any moment now. But the thing is, the SEC can and usually does push these out for up to a maximum of 240 days. So I honestly would not expect to hear anything on a Bitcoin ETF this summer, especially since Gensler and co have made such noise about wanting to, you know, have some questions answered first. Now, there have been some suggestions that, some of the other people who haven't, some of the other potential issuers who have not yet thrown their head into, or their hat into the ring, have maybe filed confidentially with the SEC. That's not possible to submit a confidential 19B4. Like, that's just a flat out no. There are some things you can submit confidentially, pre-release S-1 filings. You can get non-public guidance from the SEC, and you can submit confidential research. And I think that might be the core of that rumor, like what people are getting at there. There is likely been, in fact, I think there is, some issuers that have submitted confidential research in support of their filings. That information will never become public, because it's confidential, right? Like it's, I guess this is just me speculating, right? But, if that research does convince the SEC to approve a Bitcoin ETF, if that were the case, then the reason the SEC approved that filing would need to become public, you know? And so, that confidential filing would also become public. But again, this is like, it is what it is, right? So there's no 19B4s being secretly filed so that people can like hop the line or anything. I can put that rumor to rest.
Yeah, and in terms of 19B4s that have been filed, again, where the SEC is officially on the clock to review, I show VanEck, as you mentioned, WisdomTree, Cryptoin, Valkyrie, First Trust, and Fidelity. And then initial filings where that 19B4 has not yet been submitted, I show filings from NYDIG, Galaxy, One River, which that's a carbon neutral Bitcoin ETF fund, and then Tucrium, which would own Bitcoin futures. And then I think we should probably mention that two ETF issuers have actually filed for Ether ETFs, just the initial filings, right? VanEck and WisdomTree. Before I let you go, I have to ask you, I mean, any Any sense or thoughts on timing of approval? I mean, I think early in our conversation, we certainly maybe painted a little bit of a bearish picture. I will say my optimism has waned a little bit, more so just because of the comments that I've heard from Gensler. It just doesn't sound like he's there yet. But any thoughts on timing of approval?
I think we will likely hear more clarity as we get closer to the winter, to be honest, because that's the most, if I remember correctly, December is kind of like the drop dead deadline for the SEC getting back to the to VanEck on their proposal. And so that, I think, is going to be when we hear more. They're not going to do it anytime before then. So.
Well, Laura, great having you back on the podcast. Really excited about this new partnership with ETF Trends. And I know we'll be chatting again soon. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on. Take care.
That was ETF Trends, Laura Krieger.